Welcome to Ink in Your Veins. I'm your host, Rachel Herron. In this podcast, I talk to authors about the best things they've learned about writing so we can try those things too. I'll keep each episode short so you can get back to writing. Well, hello, writers. Welcome to episode number 435 of Ink in Your Veins. I'm here today with Nicole Peeler, who is a dear friend of mine and just one of the most wicked, smart, and funny, hilarious people I have ever met in my life. Please stick around for me and her chatting about getting unstuck. I'll keep this one short. The reason in the last episode I didn't know when the Kickstarter closed was it is so confusing. I now know that it closes in 3 days. But the reason it is confusing is that on my screen, I have a VPN on one part, which is a, what does that mean? Virtual public network? Apparently, I don't know what it means. It means that you're hidden from where you are. I need to VPN in, make my computer look like it is pinging or getting information from inside the United States so that I can see the Kickstarter in US dollars, because I still can't convert the US to New Zealand dollars easily and quickly. So I like to see it in US dollars. And yesterday when I was recording, I had one screen in front of me that said it was closing in 4 days and another screen that said it was closing in 3 days. They both had the same timestamp on them, but they thought they were in different countries. So I have been very confused about when it is going to close. The Kickstarter is now, I do know this, it is closing on my Tuesday, which is probably your Monday. Most of the world, it will be Monday the 22nd when it closes. And I am putting this out on Saturday. So there's only 2 days left for this to go. So if you are interested in getting in on the Kickstarter, you probably already have. But if you were waiting until the last minute, as you know, many writers do, this is the last minute. And I'm going to tell you selfishly, if you ever think about maybe doing a Kickstarter, come join my Kickstarter just to see how I do it. If you hate the way I do it, then you will learn what not to do. But I hope you don't. I hope that if you join, that you love the way I am putting it out there. And I hope you love the book. That is the most important part. It has been such a joyful experience for me to talk about getting unstuck with so many incredible people. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to stop talking. Link is in the show notes if you want to come support the Kickstarter, or you know where to find it by now. Please enjoy the amazing, beautiful, funny, hilarious, irreverent Nicole Peeler. Thanks for being here, everybody. I could not be more pleased to be here with my super dear friend, my special pal. Will you please share your name and your pronouns with us?
Hi, I am Nicole Peeler, and my pronouns are she, they.
Thank you, Dr. Nicole Peeler. I would like to give a little bio for you. She doesn't have this in here, but I'm adding it. Dr. Nicole D. Peeler is an essayist and novelist, as well as a full professor of English at Seton Hill University. Just got approved for full professorship there. They direct the MFA in writing popular fiction. Nicole lives in Pittsburgh, although they're often wandering. Nicole, Nikki, my darling, it's so good to see you. I was just looking back and I don't think I've ever had you on the podcast. I've always been like holding you in reserve for the podcast and I've never had you, but real briefly how we met, we were at a writing conference. I don't know, 12 or 13 or 14 years ago, something like that, maybe longer.
2009, 2010.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right. And I was with my two pals, Sophie and Julie, and we saw Nikki and we were like, we are gonna get her. And then we got you. We just said, you're our friend now, come sit with us. And we haven't let you go ever since. So welcome to the show. Right now, we're doing these little episodes talking about my new book, Unstuck, An Audacious Hunt for Happiness and Home, where I moved around the world because I realized that I had gotten myself to exactly where I wanted to be. And I felt completely stuck, even though I had done it to myself. And now I would love to hear you. I would love to hear you talk about that. Can you tell us about a time perhaps where you felt stuck of your own making?
Yeah, so I have I'm actually also my friend and I are doing a podcast, which is very different, on
Which is
called
called,
Neck Deep in the Dick Sand. And it's
it's
about like all this,
fantastic.
oh, thank you. It's about like all the systemic isms that we don't understand are perfect, are like working on us at all times. And this season we're doing perfection. And I'm talking a lot about this and that. So it's front and center in my mind. And
Yes.
I've been reading a bunch of books around this topic. And what does perfection have to do with this, might you be asking? For me, I was raised to be perfect, which is also another way of saying good and pure and productive and people pleasing, lots of P's.
Patriarchy is
And
in there.
patriarchy 100%. So I've had a number of these where I worked for a thing and then I got the thing, and they were big things, right? Degrees, book deals, jobs. And oops, sorry, let me turn off all of my devices. The biggest one for me was definitely tenure. And in the past, a lot of the things that I got either naturally required or facilitated big moves. So this is where I think my story is kind of like the other side of the coin from yours. I moved from Illinois to Boston when I was 18, and then from Boston to Spain, and then Spain back to Boston, and then Boston to Edinburgh, Scotland, and then Edinburgh, Scotland to Louisiana, obviously,
Natural move.
natural move, and then from Louisiana to where I live now. And so kind of big life changes have been a huge part of my development, and they often came alongside major coups, like getting your PhD, getting the job, moving to Scotland, right? Or whatever, moving to Louisiana. So I was always reinventing myself in my mind, right? I was looking forward to that reinvention. And I was a lot younger, right? When you made your move, you have done all the years of therapy, you have done all the thinking, you have done a lot, all the living. I was sort of reactive in my move, right? These were not entirely active choices in the sense that I had to get a job. So where I ended up was where I moved. There was a obviously getting the job part was active, but then I just ended up somewhere. And I was like, oh, now I'm a Louisianan. What does that mean? Like, who's this Nicole? And it wasn't until I hit tenure that I was like, this is the apotheosis of everything I've ever worked for.
Yes, because tenure says, I am not going and you can't make me.
Yeah, it's golden handcuffs, right? And it's hard to get. Like I've worked really hard and I've been very lucky to get where I am. And I had tied my tenure to sabbatical. So I was like living the dream. I was going from Oakland and New Orleans to Rhode Island, like just all over the place. And I was miserable because I'd run out of ladder, right? All of that productive, people-pleasing, good, like create your worthiness through perfection, had to like run out. Like, what was I gonna do? And for me, that was like the second time when I realized in my life that the call was coming from inside the building. Like none of these, because partly because of stories I'd been raised with and had internalized. I was always waiting for something external to complete me, whether it was a person or an opportunity or an adventure, like something else was going to come in and give me focus. And it had, right? Grad school had come along, jobs had come along.
I would say I would just say to that language, they had come along, but that is because you were looking for them. Grad school did not come and knock on your door and say, "We think you'd be a perfect candidate." You were still out looking for that outside the house.
But there was a level of that was also kind of externalized thinking, right? Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I wasn't just going to grad school. I was also going to, excuse me. It's a lot of, sorry, my voice is killing me. A lot of the ways I went about these things wasn't necessarily about like the best place to go to school. It was like, I want to be there. So like I applied to Boston colleges. I only applied to UK schools for grad school. Like there was an element of like this is gonna be a thing and I'll be a totally different person in this place, right? So yeah, the call was coming from inside the building and I realized that I had to learn how to be whole where I was, right? Because I actually really love where I am. And there's a lot of reasons why I should love where I am. And I couldn't, all the places that I also know I would be happy, I couldn't move to because I can't transport my college. And I do love my job. Or they're just, wildly expensive, right? Like I would have loved to move out to California with you guys, but there was just no earthly way.
We don't know how we did it for so long.
Yeah, I'm sure. So yeah, that's kind of my story.
So then this beautiful journey into becoming who we really are in the place where we stand has been something that has been so inspiring for me to stand next to you while you're doing this and while I'm doing this and while we're doing this. What has been, what have some of the most useful tools been for you to be able to stand in that place or to
I mean,
learn how?
the first one was definitely therapy. I'm a huge
Absolutely.
advocate for therapy. I've done all sorts of therapy. I'm just starting with a new therapist who's doing EMDR therapy.
EMDR is life changing.
that's what I've heard,
Very
and that's what
seriously.
I'm excited about. Yeah. Therapy, a lot of it too has been what we talk about in Neck Deep in the Dick Sand, like, and this has gone hand in hand with my therapy, is like figuring out the stories that I tell myself that aren't mine or, that have never served me. And figuring out what I've really wanted and needed versus what I thought I wanted and needed.
I'm spitballing here, but do you think that writers are especially good at telling ourselves stories because we are storytellers? I feel like I'm so good, and I'm the first person I will fool.
I don't know how we're not all in cults.
I don't listen.
Honestly.
I would not go to a church that, like, I had a friend one time who invited me to go to a church because she thought it was funny that they were a cult, and she wanted to go so we could like laugh and titter, which, number one, not cool. Number two, I can't go. I would be immediately indoctrinated. I'd give them all my money. I would sign right up.
That's why I listen to all those cult podcasts.
I'm obsessed. Yes. Doing
It's my true crime. I'm not
Love
like.
Has Won, I'm watching right now. Loving it.
If a serial killer wants to get me, he's gonna get me, right? Like, I need to know how to not join a cult because that is
Yes,
definitely.
yes. Okay, so back to tools. So we've got therapy.
Yeah. Unpacking all the things that aren't really ours that we carry. So, especially, I think, for anyone raised female,
Do you have any
we
favorites of those?
Oh, so many around. So I'm I just finished this book.
Our Best Behavior by who's the author?
It is
Elise Lohanen.
shockingly, it is by the former chief content editor or chief content officer, whatever, of Goop.
Whoa. Buying, one clicking.
Yeah. She and she basically, there's so many NDAs, I'm sure. Like, so she can't say a lot, but clearly, like, she has come to Jesus about like the industry that she was a part of. And it's not a perfect book, but I actually really enjoyed it. And it's a great gateway book into this idea that like we've just been cut off so from ourselves. So in our first season of the podcast, we talk about anger and how like so many of us, if you were raised female, you've just been cut off from your anger. Meanwhile, like anger is how we create and police boundaries. Which is why none of us have any fucking boundaries.
Interesting
Sorry,
that
cut.
that was taken away from us.
Right? Right? So in that book, she talks about like a lot of the cases she makes is for how we've been systemically cut off from desire, right? From envy. Because so basically she takes like it's this how the seven deadly sins and the price we pay. So it's kind of a BuzzFeedy listicle-y vessel,
Here for
right?
it.
The seven deadly sins. But she makes a good case and she talks about how things like envy are really like never be envious. Actually, envy is a great compass. When we feel that twinge of
Love
envy, we need
that.
to go scratch someone's eyes out. We need to say, oh, she has something I want, right? How can I get what I want? And we've been cut off from knowing what we want. We've been cut off from desire. We've been cut off from hunger.
Hell yeah.
We've been cut off from so many things that are so important. And all of this in the long run has cut us off from joy, right? And knowing ourselves. So
You are
that's
a
what.
person who learns about herself. You learn about yourself. That's what you do. And then you share it in this gorgeous, glorious manner. There's been so many times where I've just been chatting to you and you'll say something in such a frank manner. Oh, like, and it blows my mind because these are things we should all be thinking. What is the thing? What if I chose to be happy? Like that, I remember you, is that the right phrase?
This was like a big, this was like, I feel like my journey has been like
Stair
little, like
steps.
I think of it in terms of an escalator because I can't stop thinking of like improvement. So we could also look at it this way, right? But
In a circle.
yeah, just realizing how much of the way I thought about things was always trying to make them better. Right. So I was always future thinking, or I was living in the past with regret. And I could never just be in the present. Like, why can't I just be happy? Like, why can't I just enjoy this? Or like, why can't I just be content? Why can't I just, I would find myself feeling like actively happy. There was recently a ketamine ceremony with a shaman.
Nice.
I was like, this feels great. And then I was like, I felt like that part of me was just like that I'm trying to get like in a leash was just like, okay, yeah, but where's the enlightenment? Like I came here for the enlightenment. Like, waiter, enlightenment. And I'm like, you are having a great time. Just enjoy this. So it was
Which
very
is
revealing.
huge.
Yeah. Ironically, that was the waiter.
There was this moment actually in Unstuck, and I'm not even doing this as a product placement, but we had done this 5 day hike, and I had gone basically for the meditative epiphanic nature of it, right? I couldn't wait to have the epiphanies on the trail. And then I realized on like the 5th day that I had had none, and I'd been really frustrated about it. But what I'd had was complete immersion in the moment. I was constantly thinking about where to put my foot, where to put my stick.
How to
How does
not
my
fall
foot
down.
feel? How does my back feel? And I was present. That was the epiphany. I had been fully present that whole time. And but I would have called the waiter over had I. All right, my dear friend.
Epiphany.
Next. Neck Deep in the Dick Sand is the podcast. I'm so glad that you are doing this because you're able to share what you have learned. And I'm so excited for it. And where else can we find you if we would like to connect?
NicolePeeler.com. I also write for Medium.
And you write in like the you are the contracted, you are a contracted writer, specialty feature writer over at Medium too, and you do great pieces. You've got to read Nicole's pieces.
Thank you.
Oh, and you also have a brilliant newsletter, which I'm sure that
Oh,
people can get to from your website. Is that right?
absolutely. And I also have some fantasy novels that you can still get on Kindle, even though they're out of print.
They're so good. They're so
Thank you.
good. All right, my friend. Thank you for talking to us about getting unstuck. I really appreciate you.
I love you.
Love you too. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Ink in Your Veins. You can reach me at my website, rachelherron.com, and you can also support me at patreon.com/Rachel, RACHAEL, where I have all sorts of great stuff for writers for as little as a buck a month. And do sign up for my free writer's email list of encouragement at rachelherron.com/write. Now, get to writing, my friends.